This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 73.
Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this final episode of 2012, we talk about setting goals for 2013 in your running and life. And for this episode's quick tip, we recommend a running app that has live tracking to show your friends and family where you are. And to train with us for your spring marathon or half marathon, find out how to become a member of the Academy by visiting marathontrainingacademy.com. As a member of the Academy, you can get access to all our back episodes, training lessons, as well as personalized coaching. All right, Angie, well, we are almost through the holidays, but I have eaten way too much sugar. How about you?
Yeah, that's pretty much a given.
Yeah.
Speaking of goals for 2013, that's one of mine is to clean up my eating a little bit. It's definitely slipped over the holidays.
Me too. I was out running last night and I thought, I need to get rid of all the sugar out of the house, like all these Christmas goodies that we have, you know, except for these chocolate covered coffee beans that you bought me.
I was kind of looking at some of the trends and top stories of 2012 as far as running goes. And of course, there was the Olympics, which was really exciting this summer. A lot of great things happened in running.
Like the Americans won the gold medal in the marathon. Isn't that awesome?
Really? No, I mean, Meb Keflezighi, the American runner, took fourth in the men's marathon, which, you know, was very good.
He almost got on the podium.
That's right. New records were set in some of the relays and things like that. So, you know, it was a good year, I believe, for running. Of course, there was more of an emphasis on cheating and doping scandals this year.
Yes.
Things like Lance Armstrong being banned from, you know, many sporting events.
He can't even run marathons anymore.
Yeah, a lot of them he's been banned from. And then there was the story of Kip Litton, and he was a guy who was cutting courses in marathons.
Oh, man.
And, you know, kind of bragging about all these races he's done and winning them, and it turns out that he wasn't even running the full race. He would, like, ride his bike to a point, and so...
How would he get away with that?
Well, he didn't. People started calling him on it. But... For all the wonderful runners out there, there's always a few bad apples.
Yeah, but all that scandal broke this year, too.
It did, yes. And there was gear-type trends like zero-drop shoes or minimalistic shoes pretty much becoming mainstream. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not so different or weird anymore. You see them prominently displayed in running stores. There's also been several no-frills GPS watches that are available for around $100. And... more women are participating in races. I just saw a statistic that said that 45% of all finishers of races are women, and they account for 59% of half marathon finishers. So that's always exciting to see the gap narrowed a little bit there. And things like social media holding races accountable. Now that we have Twitter and Facebook and things like that, people are quick to
complain,
voice their complaints. Exactly. So, you know, you can kind of find out all the good and the bad and the ugly about a race. So I think it probably holds race directors a little more accountable. And also there's the trend of that seems to be increasing that races are selling out more quickly. Mm-hmm. For example, I think it was back in March, the Marine Corps Marathon, which had 30,000 slots, sold out in less than 3 hours.
Wow.
And then there's the Beach to Beacon 10K in Maine, and I think they had 5,000 slots that sold out in less than 5 minutes.
Wow.
So for some of these really big races, you know, you have to be like poised at your computer with your finger on the register now button. So it's, you know, it kind of takes some planning in advance if you want to do one of those big races.
Well, thanks for that review of 2012. I didn't even know all that happened. Where was I the whole time? I don't know.
Well, that's certainly not comprehensive. It was just a few things that jumped out at me.
Well, I look forward to talking about the goal setting and getting the right mindset going into a new year. And hopefully we can keep that mindset right and keep our momentum.
That's right.
So you've gotten a couple of good emails from fans and listeners that you want to read. And let's have that real quick before we get into the episode.
Okay, the first one says, "Hi, Angie and Trevor. I'd just like to write and thank you for your inspiration and wisdom you send out in your podcasts. I completed my first marathon this fall, running the Auckland Marathon in a time of 3 hours and 27 minutes. Your podcasts enable me to go into the race confident and relaxed. I remember at one episode you said everything will hurt at least some point in the race. Good advice. The scary question is, what next? And that comes from Mark in New Zealand.
What do you think he means by that?
I think he means, now where do I go? You know, what's the next big challenge I'm going to take on?
That's not a scary question. That's a great question.
Well, I've heard the saying that if your goals don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Oh, I see, yeah.
So I think that's kind of what he's referring to. Anyway, congratulations, Mark, on that first marathon and that awesome time. And we know you'll go on to do some other great things.
How do you go out and run your very first marathon in 3 hours and 27 minutes? That just makes me sick. That's like over an hour faster than my first marathon. This guy must have been in really, really good shape already. You know, like he was a Navy SEAL or something.
I don't know. Any more details?
A New Zealand Navy SEAL.
Maybe you can write us back, Mark, and tell us your exact secrets to running that fast for your first marathon. Because Trevor wants to know. The second message comes from Angela in Maine, and she says, when I reflect back over 2012, I realize who has been instrumental in helping me through another tremendous year. I just want to reiterate a huge thank you to you and Trevor. I'm so happy to have met you back in 2010 when I was training for the New York City Marathon. I have learned so much from you two and have been so inspired by you. I wouldn't be as knowledgeable or as dedicated a runner today, I don't think. You've helped me set goals and achieve goals I would never dream possible back in 2010. I hope to register for the 2014 Boston Marathon, and I'm looking forward to the day I cross the finishing line. It'll be like coming full circle. Thank you for making me not only a stronger runner, but a stronger person, not afraid to dream and set lofty goals. I'm looking forward to seeing what you and Trevor will do in 2013. Thank you so much for all you do for all of us. Peace, love, and joy to you and your families this holiday season and always.
Well, that was really nice and very appropriate for this episode's topic.
That's right.
And that comes from Angela Coulomb. We interviewed her back in 2010. She has a blog over at limerunner.com, and her story is she overcame suffering with Lyme's disease to go on and run a marathon, and now it sounds like she's qualified for the Boston Marathon, right?
That's correct, yes.
That's another one that's hard to get into even after you qualify.
That's right.
Well, thank you for contacting us again. Angela, it's good to hear from you, and I hope you're able to get registered for that race. All right, so now we want to talk about setting goals for 2013. We want to give you some positive principles to help you get the right mindset and attitude when it comes to running and, I guess, life in a broader sense as well.
That's right. Because although we talk a lot about running, obviously in this podcast, our lives are made of much more than just running. So
yes,
we want to hopefully impact your life positively in many ways.
So Angie, how was 2012? Did you have a good year?
Definitely. It was a good year. And I don't think it's entirely possible to put a whole year in a box of good or bad or mediocre. You know, it's inevitable that at the end of one year and the start of a new year, we think about what went right and what we can do to improve in the coming year. You know, maybe you had an awesome 2012 where all your running dreams came true. But it's possible that when you look back, you had your shares of disappointments mixed in with the good times. I really think that reflection is good for the soul if we use the information we gain to move forward and grow. I love the message that I got from Angela where she talks about being able to qualify for Boston. I've heard many, many success stories over the year from the MTA community, and that's one of the things that always encourages and inspires me. However, if your year was less than stellar, I hope that we can be an encouragement to you. You know, when I look back on 2012 from the perspective of running, I really did have a good year. I was able to run a lot of new races and enjoy new experiences, got 5 more marathons under my belt. However, from a perspective of achieving my running goals, it was kind of a mixed bag. I came close 2 times to qualifying for Boston. The first time I missed it by 1 minute and 47 seconds, and the second time I missed my goal by 41 seconds. You know, it was exciting to come so close, yet it was disappointing to still be so far away. So that's kind of what I mean by a mixed bag. You can grow and improve, but, you know, maybe everything didn't go perfectly for you. At the beginning of December, we also went through a hard time. I was 18 weeks pregnant and had a sudden miscarriage because the baby wasn't developing right. I was hospitalized after losing a lot of blood and going into shock in the ER. And since then, we've done our share of grieving the loss of our baby, and I've also had some physical challenges to cope with. Because of the blood loss, I was left very anemic, which has really affected my energy levels and my strength. I mean, for the first week, I was so fatigued and dizzy that I could hardly walk across the room normally. And so that's been very challenging for me because I'm used to being strong and active and doing everything and being very capable. And currently, I can only run a half mile without really getting very short of breath and fatigued. So I'm definitely not going into the new year where I want to be physically.
It's been heavy on my heart seeing you go through this as well.
Yeah, and you know, you've also been very good to take up a lot of the slack in our house as far as, you know, cleaning and meals and taking care of the kids and stuff. So it's been good to be able to go through this together. But
it was difficult, you know, and we did our share of crying over the loss of our little baby, and we were really looking forward to having four kids. But our church has been a big comfort to us in our faith. So that's what's been going on for the last month or so here at our family.
Yeah, and I wanted to share this experience because I know that many of you are struggling physically and emotionally too. And we want to provide some realistic encouragement to you as you go into 2013.
So we just got this edition of Newsweek recently, and they had an article called The New Year's Resolutions That Won't Fail You. And it's about the top 10 New Year's resolutions. They must have took a big survey or something.
Right.
The article said that the top 10 resolutions include have more fun. That's pretty generic, isn't it?
That's one that won't fail.
Relax and reduce stress. Spend more time with family. Eat better. Exercise more. Reduce spending. Save for financial emergency. Make more time for yourself, reduce debt, and lose weight.
The article also noted that approximately 89% of people make New Year's resolutions, but only 46% are still successful 6 months later. So, you know, it is hard to make changes. We can't deny that, but it is possible. The author of the article goes on to talk about how there's often a disconnect between our resolutions and the actual achievement of these goals. As humans, we're very susceptible to the emotional lure of the complete fresh start. You know, it's like this new you, and you'll see a lot of products promoted to have a new you in 2013. However, this fresh startism is very deceptive, and it's ultimately discouraging. Successful change rarely works that way. And unfortunately, we're often a poor judge of which resolutions will bring the most happiness, and we often overestimate the effects the changes we're going to make will have on our mood. We kind of fall into the trap of thinking, if I could just PR, qualify for Boston, or lose 20 pounds, you know, fill in the blank, my life would be so much better. Instead of resolving to make radical changes, many psychologists encourage making small, individual changes that you'll repeat throughout the year. These regular minor accomplishments or small wins contribute much more to your happiness than the occasional big achievements might. A few years ago, I read a book called The 2-Degree Difference. And the author used the example that by being 2 degrees off in calculating the trip from the Earth to the moon, you'd miss the moon by 11,121 miles. So little things can make a big difference.
And wasn't the whole point of the book, we should just focus on changing incrementally, maybe a degree, not a huge sweeping radical change, because that's pretty impossible, you know?
Exactly. We're kind of setting ourselves up for failure if we make our goals too radical and don't allow ourselves the time to make the process. So really, the key to making long-lasting progress is implementing small change. It's kind of like the baby steps that Bob starts using in the movie, What About Bob? Baby steps out of the office, baby steps into the elevator. You know?
Except it doesn't work for him, you know?
Well, he ultimately, in the end of the movie, does change.
Yes, after almost killing his therapist. The point is, baby steps is a good idea, and that's kind of what a good marathon training plan is like. You know, you have baby steps up to the marathon distance, and it's built on the whole idea of small wins. That's why when you're working a marathon training plan, it does feel good, you know, as you check off different running days and long runs that you have to accomplish and cross-training sessions.
That's right. And that kind of was another thing the article talked about, that another particularly effective way to achieve your goals is called the process goal method. This was actually used by comedian Jerry Seinfeld early in his career when he determined to spend time every day writing jokes. He took a large wall calendar and marked an X on every day that he got some writing done. And so he created this chain of X's. And then when you see that chain of X's, it can be motivating and propel you forward toward your goal. Said that it takes 28 days to really implement a new habit. And so having that training plan there, where you're making an X on every day, you're doing that cross training, you're getting in those runs, it really gives you a good feeling like, wow, I'm accomplishing something. You might still be scared about the actual marathon experience, but you're working toward it incrementally, and you have confidence when you overcome some of these small barriers that you're ultimately going to accomplish the big goal. A further way to make your goals a reality is not to rely on feeling emotionally motivated or fired up about the goal. We all know that emotions change from day to day, and it's nearly impossible to keep that excited feeling indefinitely. There are days when you don't feel like going to work, or cleaning your house, or helping your child with their homework, or even going out for a run. If you give up the idea that you have to feel like doing something before you do it, it can actually free you to get more done. There are many days when I don't feel like exercising, and especially lately with my lowered energy levels, but I know that even if I do something, it's going to make me feel better in the long run. So I really encourage you not to dwell on the feelings, just do it. Japanese psychologist Shoma Morita says, quote, "People think they should always like what they do and that their lives should be trouble-free. Consequently, their mental energy is wasted by their impossible attempts to avoid feelings of displeasure or boredom." He goes on to say, "Begin taking action now. While being neurotic or imperfect or a procrastinator or unhealthy or lazy or any other label by which you inaccurately describe yourself, get started on those things you want to accomplish before you die." End of quote. And I really think that's great advice.
So basically he's saying you don't have to wait to overcome all your imperfections before you start doing what you want to accomplish in life. Just start it now, and even with your imperfections.
And you don't have to feel like doing it. And that's pretty freeing. If you wait to have that fired up, excited feeling about it, it may never come.
Sometimes if you just start and just do it, you'll get fired up.
Right. It's like, it's so hard to get out of bed in the morning to get out for a run. But once you're out there, 9 times out of 10, you really enjoy it and it goes well.
Yeah. About like after the first mile, you get this feeling like, man, this is what I need to be doing right now. I'm so glad that I'm out here. It just feels right.
Exactly.
So here are a few suggestions of ways to maximize your running and fitness goals in 2013. So take out a pen and paper, and Angie's going to throw down some suggestions for us. I'm ready. I don't have pen and paper, but I'm ready.
All right. Well, you have the document in front of you.
Yes.
The first one is to embrace your identity as a runner. The more you see yourself as a runner, the more you'll be on this journey for life. You'll realize that your identity as a runner is bigger than a missed training run or a bad race or any time goals that you set for yourself. It doesn't matter if you can't even run a mile yet. Start to visualize yourself as a runner. We know that the mind is powerful, and what you dwell on will often become your reality. So here are some ways to fully embrace your identity as a runner. First off, take one step at a time. We've kind of talked about baby steps already, but the journey to the marathon happens step by step. There's the temptation to always compare ourselves to others and get impatient with how far we have to go. If I compare myself to world-class runners, you know, I might never leave the house again to go for a run. Instead, I have to look at how far I've come and appreciate the things that I've learned along the way. When I ran my first 5K, honestly, I'd never dreamed that one day I'd do a marathon.
Maybe you can compare yourself to the old you, you know, if you've been doing this for some time now, because there's probably most of us, it was difficult to run 1 mile once upon a time, right?
Exactly. And, you know, even if you've had a setback, kind of like I have, you know, I can't look at the old me a month ago because I can't do what she did, but I just have to take it one step at a time from where I am right now and move forward and know that I'll get back to where I want to be.
That's a good point. So it is important to embrace your identity as a runner. And while you're doing that, just take one step at a time and encourage new runners.
That's right. You may not know everything there is to know about running, but you do know more than some people. Use the knowledge and the progress you've made to help someone else. Cheer them on as they make progress toward meeting their goals. Mentoring someone else actually cements what you know more fully, and it makes you want to improve. Another tip is to connect with other runners. You can look on the Roadrunners Club of America website, or you can find a local running club through a specialty running store. There's websites like dailymile.com, or you can also connect with the MTA Facebook page if you haven't already. We've got a community of around 5,900 runners over there, and we'd love to have you. Finally, I'd encourage you to give back to the running community. You can volunteer at a race, participate in a charity run, pick up trash along your running route, donate your old shoes for recycling or refurbishment. That's a few ideas how you can give back and actually move the running community forward. In addition to embracing your identity as a runner, I encourage you to write down your goals for 2013. You should have a variety of goals, including small short-term goals and bigger long-term goals. Meeting those small goals can actually give you extra inspiration and strength to keep pursuing the big goals. There's really power in the written word and making your commitments tangible. Put your goals somewhere where you'll see them frequently, like as the background on your computer or on your desk at work, on the bathroom mirror, on the refrigerator. That way you'll keep your goals in the forefront of your mind. So if you're having trouble thinking of goals for this year, here are a few suggestions. I'd encourage you to try something new this year. Some of us can be creatures of habit, and it's good to break out of the mold. One of the things that often limits our experience is fear. I like this quote that says, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You must do what you think you cannot do," and that's by Eleanor Roosevelt. So here are a few ideas of new things that you can do this year. You can take a fitness class at the gym, run a new distance, try a specialty race like the Tough Mudders or the Warrior Dashes. You could do a triathlon, try trail running, or even incorporate yoga into your routine.
This might be a good place to bring in one idea that I had. I've been saving this idea.
Oh, my.
Okay. Going back to where I was reading from the Newsweek article about the top 10 goals, mm-hmm. I noticed that all of the goals are, like, really vague. Mm-hmm. Like, have more fun. But even this one, relax and reduce stress, eat better, exercise more.
Yeah.
Those are good broad categories, but you have to make goals real specific if you're going to meet them. You can't just be like, exercise more. But if you sign up for a marathon and download a training plan, then you are going to exercise more because that's a specific goal.
Exactly.
If your goal is to lose weight, it's probably better to set like a specific amount of weight, like a certain number of pounds that you want to lose, or stones for our British friends.
Yeah, and even more specific than lose 20 pounds, it has to be steps along the way. Mm-hmm. Things like exercise 4 days a week, drink more water, not eat after 8 p.m. You know, it has to be concrete, specific steps. Otherwise, it's just so easy to revert back to our old habits.
So, yeah, what we're trying to say is make your goals specific. Write them down. Try something new. And one example could be register for a race that you haven't run before. It could be a new distance or just a race in a new location. That's always fun. Having a race on the calendar, paying the fee in advance, be a great incentive to get in shape, lose weight, and all those other goals that fall under that. It's especially helpful to register for races that will keep you motivated during the tougher times of the year, like during the summer or the winter. You know, I got out and ran last night in the snow and the cold, even though you cautioned me not to because...
Well, I just been out earlier in the day and almost fell on my butt several times. So I was like, be careful that you don't fall and hurt yourself.
I really didn't want to go out and do it, but I had put it off all day and now it was like 9 o'clock at night. And I had to run 4 miles for my training run. And I just thought, I'm really going to regret it if I don't, because I've got this marathon and I want to have all the training in the tank that I can put there before race day. But I'm telling you, if I didn't have this marathon on the calendar coming up in February, I wouldn't have gone out and ran last night. But I'm so glad that I did go out and run because it really did feel good. And I didn't slip, by the way.
Very good. I'm happy to hear that. I like this quote by George Sheehan. He was a doctor and a writer. He says, "No matter how old I get, the race remains one of life's most rewarding experiences." And I think for those of us who have run races, it really is rewarding. And if you've never registered for a race before and actually done a race, make it happen this year. My final suggestion for 2013 is to expect progress, not perfection. And this is really one key to living a fulfilling life. We all miss the mark as humans, and if you expect perfection out of yourself and others, it's a recipe for frustration and failure. You really have to learn to cut yourself some slack. For example, if you went off your diet and binged, simply stop and push the reset button. You know, instead of beating yourself up and saying, oh, I'll start Monday, you just have to start fresh right away. Expecting perfection is often counterintuitive because we become afraid to have new experiences and to dream big. Those who succeed often fail frequently, but they aren't afraid to get back on their feet, brush themselves off, and try again.
My advice to myself is not to take myself too seriously.
I don't think that's a problem, is it?
I think it is a secret, though, to happiness and health. If you're able to laugh easy, laugh at yourself and...
And laugh at others.
And laugh at others, yeah.
If they don't care.
No, but just kind of just stay upbeat. I have a great uncle who just passed away in October. He was 90, almost 95 years old. He lived through the Great Depression, fought in the war, just was a pretty neat guy. And one time I asked him, what's the secret to your longevity? I think he was like 90 when I asked him that. And he said, liquor and wild women. Which was a joke, of course, because he was...
He was a pretty moderate guy.
Yeah.
And he was faithful to his wife.
But he says, I don't like spending time around old people because they act like old people. He says, I don't feel old. I feel like a young person. And that was his approach toward life, was just, he just had a good sense of humor. And
yeah, I think developing a positive mindset and a good sense of humor is key. You really are what you think. And, you know, if you're having negative thoughts, you need to replace them with positive truths. And it's one way to reduce stress and maximize the amount of time you have on Earth.
So just rebuke yourself for having those negative thoughts.
You dummy.
Must be positive.
Another thing is to not get so bogged down by your future goals that you forget to enjoy today. This is really a good one for me because I'm really a goal-oriented personality, and I can often get so focused on where I want to be that I forget to enjoy the small blessings. You know, it's important to have goals, obviously, but don't lose sight of the goodness all around you. Make sure that you enjoy the journey. I like this quote by marathoner Ryan Hall. He says, quote, I have my own unique road that has had many exciting ups and heartbreaking downs, but one thing I know is that my journey is not over and the best is yet to come, end of quote.
That's a positive outlook.
That's right.
And I guess in conclusion, we all need to remember that we are what we think. Thoughts become actions.
Yes, they do.
So we want to encourage you to learn to identify any negative self-talk or negative thoughts and replace them in your life with positive truths about yourself. Cut yourself some slack, like I do all the time. None of us do know how long we have on Earth, so we might as well enjoy our time, right?
That's right.
Well, we hope that everyone listening to this has a great 2013. We look forward to putting out a lot more great episodes and interviews and all kinds of stuff to help you in your marathon training and your life. And I think it's going to be a great year. Angie, what do you think?
Definitely.
Because we say it will be. Now it's time for this episode's quick tip. And we want to tell you about an app. It's available on iTunes or the Android market. And it's called Runtastic. Actually, it's Runtastic Pro is the one we're thinking of. It was recommended to us by a friend. His wife is a runner, and he was telling me about how she goes out and runs with her cell phone, and he could see where she's at. He could track her progress and even send messages to her through Facebook or something, and even voice feedback.
Well, she told a funny story that she was out running, and I think it was dark out, and she had just passed kind of a mean dog, so her heart rate was already a little bit elevated, and then all of a sudden she hears this deep male voice say, good job, honey. She kind of freaked her out. She realized the sound was coming from her phone.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, her husband giving her feedback. I think it's you kind of like text it in or whatever, and it, you know, whatever the computer generated voice is. So that was kind of amusing, but.
That's just a neat idea to think that I could see exactly where you are on your running path and send you a message. And you don't even have to read it. It's just going to. Your phone will speak it out to you. Of course, you don't run with the phone, so.
I don't even have a smartphone, okay? Two slight problems.
So we don't know about this app from personal experience. We're just recommending it as it was recommended to us. If you're into apps and running with your smartphone, it might be one that you like to have along with you. It's called Runtastic Pro, and you can find that over on Runtastic.com. ProSmartphoneApp.com.
What? Runtastic.com.
And you can find that over at Runtastic.com. Anything else you want to say about that app, Angie?
I've had other people recommend it to me as well, so we definitely want to pass it on. And it has a 5-star rating over on iTunes, so
really
can't be all bad.
And if you'd like more information on running and marathon training, visit us over at our website, marathontrainingacademy.com. While you're there, you can download a free audio gift called The 7 Pillars of Successful Marathon Training. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Have a happy new year. And remember, you do have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Well on my way, well on my way, well on my way. Hey, 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 now that I-